Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Ramblers, and welcome to a little revisit of our series At The Match, which we made to bring you the atmosphere from some of the UK and Europe's most interesting grounds and games, which for obvious reasons, while we're mostly indoors, I've been really enjoying re-listening to of late and resampling the roar of the crowd. This episode is from downtown Los Angeles. The downtown bit is important, as you'll discover, as we get to the newly formed LAFC in their debut MLS season. I was actually in town to cover a LeBron James home debut for the Lakers and decided to make the quick hop up the road to see the new club before flying home on Sunday night. And I was so glad I did. This was a real favourite episode from the first season for us in the office as well, because it was so unexpected. Being there, being taken aback by how amazing the atmosphere was and just getting that sense of closeness between a club and its community. Big warning though, this might contain some huge Cali vibes. This is At The Match from Los Angeles FC versus Vancouver Whitecaps on 21st of October 2018.
We spent 10 years of our lives supporting a club that never delivered, but we were always there because we felt a connection that we never had with the other team in Carson, which is the Galaxy.
Yeah. So, I mean, almost the idea of LAFC filled the hole pretty quickly. Did it take you a while to be convinced?
I will tell you this, I am so proud to tell you that me and my compadre Julio were the only two fans on the announcement of LAFC. Chivas USA died on a Sunday. We won that game against San Jose. And we were so desperate to know if they were going to take the franchise away. Yeah. And we talked to our president and we told him, hey, Nelson Rodriguez, he worked for MLS for so many years. Tell us something. You cannot leave me like this on a Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
He was like, expect the call tomorrow. On Thursday, we were on the announcement of LAFC.
So it was quite a while from that point until actual fruition. A lot of work behind the scenes. How gratifying is it to actually have this inaugural season that you've waited a long time for?
When people see what we've created, they think it was something that just build a stadium and people show up. It was not like that. We actually designed the North End with the architects.
Wow.
The first time I met the ownership, they asked me, who will you hire as a coach? And I said, Bob Bradley. And look, we have Bob Bradley. It's amazing. The connection with the ownership, the players, and the fans is phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's funny because I guess the continuation of Chivas is what makes it interesting because, you know, for us, like on the other side of the Atlantic, it looks like a new club. And we don't expect anything like this from a new club. But there's this incredible fan culture already. How much of that is Chivas? How much of that is what you've built in the last 4 years?
I will tell you, the North End, 3,252 fans. Out of those fans, I can tell you less than 200 were Chivas fans. These are new fans for the club.
Well, that's the thing that I find interesting, the fact that Chivas is a very strongly Latino identity. But there's not really that here. Do you think that's what it takes for football to work in LA, to be downtown and to envelop all parts of the community?
I think the key word is the connection that you create with the fans. It doesn't matter where you are. It's that connection that you have. For you to come to a stadium and feel part of it. And that's when you come here for the first game or first time, you feel part of it. You feel welcome. You feel like this is where I belong. This is my house. I'm going to come and watch a good football game and I'm going to enjoy it.
I think, yeah, location is a big thing when it comes to people that are from this area. A lot of the people that grow up in L.A. and grow up in certain neighborhoods, they don't really branch out too much from their neighborhoods. So a location of something is key, but more than that, it really is how the organization built itself. You know, the way of old, the way that, you know, like teams like the Galaxy and you know, other teams are doing, like here, this is our product, come look at it, come check it out. Whereas LAFC was like, okay, let's build a community that represents LA that just happens to have a soccer team.
Because it feels to us like it was a bit overnight looking from outside. But this has actually been years in the making.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these supporter groups started maybe 3.5-4 years ago now. I am from one of the newer groups, but Carla could attest to you. She's been there from the beginning with the Black Army. Yeah, I mean, they've... Friday night meetings, you know, Sunday morning TIFO paintings, like, you know, it's a lot of man hours. It's people that are passionate about the game, passionate about their city, and want the game and the passion in the city to grow. I mean, that's what we're here for.
And it's something that's really evident. I mean, it's something that, you know, you feel you'd have to build this bond, but in fact this is incredible for an inaugural season. The noise, the fact it doesn't stop all of the games. I mean, it's funny because we talk in England about how the Premier League is famous for its atmosphere, it's famous for the stadiums having closeness to the pitch, but we actually have nothing like this.
I think it's just different. I do love Premier League games. Everyone's just like sitting down, but they get up for every corner kick, they're screaming at the players, and they're right there and they're able to behave themselves. You know, I think it's like more of Latin American football, it's kind of like they don't trust us. Or, you know, we're a little rowdier, we're a little crazier. Here, it was like a perfect mix between everything, because you can see it's only the north end where it's like safe standing. They really wanted a model again after like the German league, you know, so base it off of that and make that supporter community. So that's where we actually are with the 3252, and we're part of that. And we know that this is more than a 90-minute commitment. We're standing up and chanting, and you saw what was out there. Yeah. But then it's also really great to see the other sections also get up and start jumping and start doing that. But it's been amazing. Like, just the way they built the stadium, it's definitely even more now people that maybe heard about LAFC, the fact that now they see it, they're like, oh, this is something like an experience that I want to go experience myself. Because like millennials and everything right now, it's all about experience, not much about like spending it on like a jersey per se, you know, things like that.
I mean, do you guys feel like you almost have a responsibility to get the name, get the reputation of the club out there?
Yeah.
Like someone like me, for example, who comes not really expecting it, will come away with a different impression than you're expecting to get.
I think that is a big thing for us. It's about representing our club. We always say that we'll never lose in the stands. That's something that we go by. Wherever we go, even if we're losing, we're not going to stop. We won't shut up. And, you know, that's what our identity is. We're here to win in the stands, and we expect the same from our players.
Where do you think the downtown thing comes from? I mean, is it because of the Lakers being right at the heart of it as well?
No, because there's a lot of people that even come from Orange County or, like, super far. You know, like I said, I think it's just... It's so hard to say.
A feeling that a team should be at the heart,
yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. Like I said, it's just with Southern Californians, like that location thing is kind of like a more looked at part of what you are. Yeah, I mean, everything this club just did, I think even if it wasn't in the heart somewhere else in L.A., the way this club built the community is really what it was all about. You know, reaching out to the people. The whole North End Bar wasn't built by just, you know, the architects. They called in the 3252 to ask, do you guys want a safe standing zone? Do you guys, you know, what kind of bar do you want? How do you want it to look? So this was it. People are passionate about it because they feel like they are a part of
yeah.
it. Yeah.
They heard our voice.
Ownership.
And they made it happen. You know, like you said, like everything, every little detail, even the murals speak to us. They're all LA-based artists. So that goes a long way, you know, like the recognition that they also keep the community and diversity, like from the staff to the bottom, you know, to all the supporters. Like, it's very diverse and it represents LA, and that's what makes the crowd so awesome. Like, even all the supporter groups, there's like, obviously there's the Tigers, which is the Korean one. Black Army is like everything. You have a little bit of everything mixing here and there, and that just makes it great too.
So, incredibly to me at least, you're in the playoffs in your first season.
Yeah. Yes.
How good does it feel to keep it going that little bit more? Or does it kind of feel that you're part of it, that you've helped bring the team here, brought it to life?
Yeah.
I mean, it's exceeded what we wanted. I mean, you know, from a club coming into its first inaugural season, it's not easy to get to the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, we're just happy and blessed to be part of the ride.
The interesting thing as well, I mean, you're from a Mexican background. There was Chivas before, which this feels like a kind of continuation of that. But you weren't a fan of Chivas before. So
you would say,
what made LAFC appeal to you where Chivas didn't?
Well, like I said, I was mentioning I like Chivas at Guadalajara because I am Mexican, but I didn't like Chivas USA. It just didn't speak to me because I wasn't back then interested in the MLS. Like, I was just following La Liga MX and then Liga, you know, like that's like my other thing.
So it didn't feel
organic or original. Yeah. Like, they're just copying, they're just trying to get all like the Chivas fans that live in LA to go root for Chivas USA.
Sure.
I think I went to a game once because they gave me free tickets. Like, it wasn't because, like, oh my God, I really have to go experience that, seeing them live. Like, yeah, they had maybe some good players, some good coaches, but it wasn't, it just felt like they lacked that, you know, new aspect of what LAFC came about. Like I said, what got me here too was the name. You know, I had Los Angeles Football Club, like the way it's called everywhere else in the world. You know, like every other team has that as part of their official name. You know, Guadalajara, Real Madrid, like everything's like, you know, Club de Fútbol, like it's part of the actual official name. And that spoke great to me as well.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it, how you have this, it's the continuation of a club that had a very strongly Latino identity. But this, and we keep coming back to talking about community, it feels like, I mean, LA's incredibly diverse, but this feels like it touches all different parts of the Los Angeles community. Is that what is key to success now, and what's going to be key to success going forward?
Yeah, I mean, LA in itself is a melting pot. So to have, to not have all those different cultures represented and what you're trying to make represent LA, I mean, it would be doing it wrong. So, I mean, people that were part of the organization were the ones that reached out to me to say, hey, there's a strong Korean-American presence in LA, but we don't have a Korean-American supporters group.
Yeah.
So we actually formed the first Korean supporters group in, or first Asian supporters group in all of the MLS. So, you know, it's the foresight. It's looking to the future. It's seeing what's unique about LA and then bringing it here.
I mean, does it seem already that even after just a few short months of competition, that the MLS would be a strange place without LAFC?
I think it would be a little more boring. I mean, I can attest to any time the 3252 shows up to any away match, we bring out the best in wherever we're at. Wherever the competition is, if we show up with our noise, they will step up to try to match it.
Yeah, even when we went to, I was at the Seattle Sounders opening match back in March, and it was our first game with the MLS, and we were like 300, and, you know, Seattle's Sounders are known for being very loud, and we were literally, like, outshining them, and they felt our presence, and that's how it's been for all the other away games. Like, the 3252 knows how to represent us even when we're not here.
It's really interesting mix of cultures here. The fact that you have this really authentic terrorist culture mixed with Hollywood glamour. What are the rises at the front of where the 3252 stand? Will Ferrell leading some of the charge.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We could call it Pete and Mark's Colossal Tussle.
But we didn't. We called it Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Peter.
A celebration of all things WrestleMania and beyond. And you may be thinking, I'm not really into wrestling. Well, don't worry. There's something for everyone. To be honest, it's mainly about stuff like this.
So hang on. Easy Lover was the original theme on WrestleMania.
And, it was. And someone heard it on the radio and went, that sums up everything about WrestleMania to me.
And this.
You can really see the old back acne on test.
Yeah.
And this.
Is it worth reminding people of what Earthquake John Tenta looked like at 23 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
And this.
For the record, Marty has made it very clear, and I agree and believe him, that he has never, A, had sex with his daughter, or B, wanted to have sex with his daughter.
And the people behind the face paint doing the most unique job in the entire world. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. That's Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
I support AFC Wimbledon at home. And, yeah, the previous club sort of moved away on us. So we started a new club on our own. And I remember very vividly, it's one of my, I think, most clearest, most favourite moments as a football supporter. I remember the first AFC Wimbledon home game, and the first time we scored a goal, it was against Chipstead. Really small team, really small game. And I realised at that moment that it wasn't a protest, it wasn't an ideal, it was my team. And that was an incredible moment. How did it feel to you the first time you saw an LAFC goal here?
It was incredible. That goal that Simon scored, I'm going to tell you this is something so incredible. We had an academy player, Tommy Mark, number 23. He passed away, unfortunately. Simon were the number 23, and we scored on the 23rd minute.
Just meant to be.
Just meant to be. It was just blown away. Like, you see everybody just jumping of joy and crying at the same time.
So what makes a match day experience here? When does it start for you, and how does the day roll out?
We live this shit, 24-7.
Yeah.
As soon as the whistle blows, the game's just started for the next one. It's 24-7, non-stop, just passion, organizing it, the tailgate, everything. It's just like, when you are in it, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so, what about, where'd you go next from here?
Next.
Difficult question, I know.
Next is, we are working so hard with the newcomers, the guys that are first season. They don't understand the culture. They don't even know nothing about football. Yeah. They call it soccer, we call it football.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge because they are used to the American sport. Mm. And coming, for them to come here and experience this, it's huge. And that's our next challenge. Getting everybody in the whole stadium is just going mad.
All my out of town is in town. Welcome to our city. LA, make some noise! That black and gold, the only real team in LA. We don't play in Carson. We don't play in Carson.
So, how's the relationship with the Galaxy been? How have they accepted you or not accepted you?
There's no acceptance at all. Like I said, back in the days, we followed Chivas, and we used to share the same stadium. One of their guys, one of the top boys from ACB, one of their supporters, told me once, you fucking renter, get your own house, get an ownership that cares. Now that we have this, I saw him and I told him, who's the bitch now?
What about the Galaxy? Do you feel that their noses have been put out of joint a bit? How do their supporters feel about you being here?
They're the main example of, you know, we bring out the best in them.
Yeah.
You know, like, you could go to any Galaxy match and then you can compare it to any match they have with us. The level that they bring as far as support goes, they have to triple what they normally do to come close to what we're doing. Yeah. So I think that they might be a victim of, you know, coming too early into the world when the U.S. wasn't ready for soccer. But
I mean, do you think they've kind of put the cart before the horse almost? Because you look at the players who've come in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look at Beckham, Gerrard, now Ibrahimovic, who perhaps is like the biggest star of them all.
Yeah.
Certainly in terms of is the excitement he brings as a footballer. But maybe they don't have the other side of it. Is that how you guys feel?
Yeah, it's just a disconnect with your fan base. Like, yeah, you guys are great at bringing in, you know, players that are going to have to leave their league soon anyways, and yeah, it makes your team look good, but it's not really fun to have to support a retirement league, getting the leftovers,
yeah.
You know? And if you're going to do that, at least have them intermingle with the community and you know, get to know it, the MLS is a small enough league where you could actually get to know who supports you and, you know, get involved with the community a little bit.
So it's strange, isn't it, that in the year that they brought in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the Galaxy could well miss the playoffs.
Oh, that'd be great.
Do you feel that would be great, or would you miss the prospect of a derby in the playoffs?
I mean, derbies are intense. Just telling you, the atmosphere here, I don't even feel safe. Like, usually I come to the games by myself because I have all these, the supporters, you know. I'm like, I'm with the 3252, it's going to be fun afterwards. Like, I don't care, like, I'll be able to find someone and get along with. But, yeah, no, the derbies is not, like you said, it brings the best out of us, but it's also that
also
component. It also brings the worst out of some people.
So the derby's already tense.
Oh, my God, yeah, yes. Absolutely. I've been to all three this year, and it's,
I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but as scapegoaty as it sounds, like, I don't want that emotional turmoil at the beginning of playoffs.
I think it'd be great if
the playoffs is intense enough.
Especially our first season. Like, we don't, it'd be great if they're. But that's also not the thing we think about. Like, honestly, out of LAFC, when LAFC was coming about, Galaxy fans were already worried about us. And we weren't even worried about Galaxy. We're like, yeah, okay, they won 5 in the MLS. Great for them. But, like, who cares? Like, we're focusing on our team. And now with the derby, like, now I feel like that's. It made us become more like, I hope they don't make it to playoffs. You know, like, now we're kind of like that. And I mean, I kind of don't like it, but at the same time, I think, we don't want them to make it to playoffs. Like, who cares? Yeah. It's better if we don't see them until next March.
That's exactly how you're meant to feel, I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the nature of a true rivalry.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? No.
Probably only one thing more surprising, the ex-Premier League player that we lost track of, like Jordan Lush turning up in a game like this, is when said player smashes in absolute beauty from 30 yards, which is just it's an amazing goal. And so, you think you can build even more from here? I mean, how do you see the Galaxy going from here? Because for them, they're kind of out of the way almost, aren't they? So they've had the start, but they've not had the passion that you guys have in the stands.
It's the connection with the people. Like I said, and they always say, and they always brag about those 5 championships. I tell them it means nothing when you don't have your people behind you.
Yeah. Well, that's it with football. I mean, you know, from, say, living it 24/7, the 90 minutes is a tiny part of it. Not completely insignificant part of it, but it's a tiny part of it. And if you, like, you know, have a great day or have a bad day, just depending on the result, that's not the way to live it. I mean, it's about the experience and about the shared experience, isn't it?
With us, we tell everybody it's a party wherever we go. And we call it un carnaval. We always create a carnival. We always come here no matter what, whether we're losing or not. We always show the heart. We always show the passion on the stands. Like, even if the team is not doing good, which this is not the case, we always do.
I mean, I've been, as I say, absolutely blown away by this. It's not what I was expecting at all. So, do you think this will change more people? Do you think LAFC will change more people's perceptions about the MLS?
Definitely. Not only LAFC, there's more teams coming into the league with a lot of money. We got Miami coming soon with Beckham. You know, I'm pretty sure those guys are going to step it up a notch. They're going to build a stadium, I don't think better than ours, but something like that, you know? But you see that every year the league keeps on growing, not only on bringing old players, like back in the days, they will bring old players just for people to actually watch the games. Now it's, and I have to give it to Atlanta United. They were the ones that started doing, bringing young players from South and Central America. They were very young, very quick, and they started changing the game. People started noticing that bringing good players with good money, young, they can make a difference. And that's something that we have here.
A club that, at least in its current incarnation, is so new, it's kind of showing us and showing me, because I don't see it in that many places anymore, that fans are actually participants. You know, you're not passive as spectators. You're actually part of it.
And that's probably the craziest thing about what's happening with LAFC is Los Angeles in itself is a place where people are kind of too cool to participate a lot of the time,
yeah,
you know?
So, they're here.
Yeah, it's a feat in itself that you have that many people participating even. It's something that's not easy. Like,
so you think it lifts people from Los Angeles almost out of themselves?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean...
It's making LA expand for what it... As odd as that makes, because, like, even people that are coming here, it's not just L.A. Like, I live, like, 20 miles from here, you know? That's, like, an hour plus in traffic in L.A. Like, he's also, like,
maybe
far
more
from here. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's nice that this is, like, our melting pot. Once you step through those doors, you're like, I'm home, you know? In a few years, of course, that we want trophies, we want to see them win, but it's also, like, we're already sell out. Like, I can only imagine how more competitive is going to be, you know, years from now, 5 years from now.
The second deck on the stadium, I suppose.
They didn't think that. I mean, that's the thing here, they make the stadium so small because they're like, it's lack of interest. So they're like, 25 and down is less. Like, we're not capping it more than that. But empty stadiums look sad, so I'm okay with 22,000
here. Yeah, I think the intimacy of this size is good for, you know, what we've created now, and when they decide to expand it, we'll be there. We just got to fill in this side even more.
Yeah. Well, you say empty stadiums are sad. I think the owners felt pretty confident because, like, if you look in there, all the seats are dark, whereas in countries like Portugal, for example, they have multicoloured seats to give the impression that there are people sitting there. But no one did that here.
Yeah.
They might give us a grey jersey next season, like, to make it feel like, you know, but that is true. They had hope. They knew, because even before the stadium was built, I think they were already sold out on season tickets. Mm. That's how insane it was. Like, there's a wait list to get the 32-52 tickets for next season.
But, like, people knew it was coming, didn't they? So there's anticipation.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's not like the club just happened.
Yeah,
that's,
no,
as you
no.
said, not only the supporters putting in the effort, but the club saying, it's coming.
Well, yeah. I mean, to a lot of people, to be honest, until a friend of mine started working for the club, I still had no idea. And that was only half a year before the season started.
Yeah.
So it was all still pretty fresh to me. A lot of people don't really follow the MLS in the States. To me, I was a Premier League guy, and I was all snooty about it. I was like, I'm not watching that garbage.
Same. I was like, no.
Yeah, and it kind of took over everything. Like, it's harder to wake up at 4 a.m. for a United match because there's a difference between being a fan and a supporter.
Yes,
and that's
exactly
what I learned throughout this
year. We're supporters here. Like, it's so different. Also, what drives me here is because, like, you get to see it live. Like, it's as much as I love my other teams, it's not the same experience of seeing your team play in the stadium. You know, it's a different feeling, and it's a party over here.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's Amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.